Because of apparent unfairnesses, we ordered a reassessment in 20 Indiana counties, and it's a good thing we did. In at least half those counties, we've now found there was a substantial undervaluation of business property, which meant, of course, that homeowners were going to be saddled with an unfairly high part of the tax burden. And we have now found double-digit increases in the real value of business property, and this will translate into very significant reductions in the tax rate for homeowners in those counties. In Marion County, where the work is not final, but we have the most data so far, it could easily result in a double-digit reduction in the tax rate paid on average across the county, and in some parts of the county, much more. Similarly for other counties that were hard hit. Let me stress that although this is in those counties going to deliver more relief than we might have expected at the beginning, this is really just a first step, and the important work is still to deliver immediate and permanent property relief, tax relief. In the counties we're talking about here, very high percentages homeowners will still be well above the caps we've recommended, and therefore have very much to gain from the protection that those caps would bring. But that's the work for the rest of the session, and I'm optimistic about it. We're just one vote away on that issue, and so I'm very hopeful. The last comment I will make on this subject is for those who have been skeptical that township-by-township assessment by 1,100 different assessors can lead to errors and inconsistencies, here's some evidence, because the miss was very, very large in many of these counties. And therefore, the reassessment will avert a significant unfairness to homeowners, something we're glad about.
The tax caps aren't part of whatever final package comes out of the legislature. Will you call them back?
I expect them to be part of it. We have promised the people of Indiana not only immediate but permanent relief. I'm taking an open stance, and I want to be as flexible as I can be about the specifics of the package. I welcome a lot of changes, but not this one. We need the caps. We're only one vote away, and I'm very, very optimistic that it'll be there at the end.
What if there's no constitutional amendment?
When I talk about caps, I mean the permanence of caps, so that's essential. There aren't too many things that I think of are absolute musts in this bill, but that's one.
So you would call them a special session if the constitutional caps?
I'll just say I don't think it'll come to that. I think that this is clearly something that a huge majority of Hoosiers believe is fair and want. I think the legislators know it. I think that in the end, given a free opportunity to do so, a big majority will vote for it.
What kind of role do you expect to play, if any, in the final 2 weeks while they're negotiating the product? Are you meeting with the conferees on 10-1, with legislative leaders?
I've been meeting with the leadership on both sides right along, and I'd expect that there will probably be more frequent conversations, and I welcome those. On the one hand, the legislature has the ball and it needs to do its work, but they seem to be interested in our attitude toward the specifics in the bill, and I'm happy to talk to them on every occasion. There have been a number, and I'm sure there will be many more.
Is there anything besides the property tax caps, circuit breakers, that you consider crucial in the project?
I think I've been consistent right along in spelling out what I think is crucial. Immediate relief for every taxpayer, significant relief, permanent protection through the caps, an improved assessment system that reduces enormous errors and unfairnesses like the ones we've just discovered in these 20 counties, and better control of future spending growth that has created property tax increases. So these are the crucial things. Referenda as a simpler, more effective mechanism for controlling the growth of debt and expensive capital projects. these are the crucial aspects, and but again, I'm trying to be very open. I think the Senate has made some significant improvements. They've listened to the worries of cities and towns and offered to pick up the police and fire pension costs. It'd be an enormous help to every city and town I know of. Their idea of some transition money for schools to help bridge over a couple year period to the era of taxpayer protection and caps is one I hadn't thought of, but I think up to some reasonable point makes sense.
Your original plan had the limit on overall spending as well as the control board to review and power over budgets. In the Senate, the control of overall spending is gone, and the county council's advisory. Can you effectively control future spending without those two provisions?
I still would prefer to control the growth, that we control the growth of all spending, as opposed to just that attributable to property taxes. And the Senate knows this. I think that that would be a more effective taxpayer protection. But I will say that the caps are central. And as long as we have the caps, as I believe we will, they answer a lot of these questions. They do provide an absolute ceiling and protection for taxpayers, whatever else is going on.
Senator Long said this morning that it wouldn't be the end of the world if the legislature didn't produce an immigration bill. Do you think that immigration reform is necessary?
It depends entirely on what that bill says and whether it's well put together and fairly balanced. So I defer to the senator. We need improvements, but we want to get it right. And I hope the legislature will do that this time around, but if it didn't, we could probably make it to next year.
The current debate is whether the state should target the immigrants themselves or just the people who hire the immigrants. Do you have any feeling about whether the state has a role in dealing with illegal immigrants directly?
I really don't. This bill's been in constant flux and change, and I think I just really want to wait and see what the legislature, what conclusions they reach before I come to any of my own.
The Senate may not be able to agree on the elimination of assessors. In fact, the bill right now would just leave that up to townships. Lieutenant Governor missed an opportunity to get that in the bill the other night. I wonder if you talked to her about that and how confident are you going forward that you are going to end up with eliminating of the township assessors?
Oh, yes, I talked to her about it, and I'm still very hopeful about this. I think evidence like that the reassessment of these 20 counties has produced tells us what our common sense already did, that 1,100 people running around assessing property is a formula for unfairness, inaccuracy, and inconsistency, and that we want the most professional people possible doing this, and we'd like to have certainly within a county one system, not multiple. Again, in the interest of fairness and consistency.
Senator Kennedy's talked about giving broad authority to this distressed unit for the workout plan. What type of powers would you like to see that board have?
I think it's a good idea. The biggest spending and therefore highest taxing counties will have, of course, the most difficult adjustment to a world of taxpayer protection. And I think some sort of a program, and we've had them before in this state, that allows for them to, in essence, work out as a distressed or bankrupt county might, as New York City once did when they were in impossible fiscal shape, would be a good addition to this bill. And I assume it would have the power to review plans for limiting spending and reforming government, and to either approve them or to send them back for further work before it did.
What say those Marion County residents who look at these numbers, say it was $3 billion mistake in commercial assessments, but their tax bills still aren't going to go down as much, because the talk is maybe like a 6% adjustment in the average Marion County resident's tax bill?
Well, I think it'd probably be a little more than that. That's what these data seem to say, but I would say no one ever said that the reassessment was a complete solution or anything close to it. Now, it's going to be a very important first step, followed by the rebate, now credit, that other taxpayers have already received but will be coming to Marion County taxpayers with their updated bills. But I would say what I just did, that these first two steps will be helpful, maybe more helpful than we thought. But we have to have the bill that is upstairs now. We have to have the major relief that our program would provide, and we have to have the caps. 93% of the people in this county, 4/5 of the people of Crawford County, 3/4 of the people of Blackford County are above those caps. And without them, no plan is complete.
On the rebates, the bill that left the Senate does not give them to everyone in Marion County, only to people whose bills went up more than 10%. I wonder whether you think that's a good idea or not.
I always thought it was a good idea to target the rebates to the people whose bills went up. As passed last year, I thought it was a second best outcome that to send checks to people whose bills went down. We had 250,000 properties in the state who got a reduction in property taxes and then got a rebate. And I thought it would have been wiser to direct the aid to those people who actually got hit hard, but and didn't do it last year. But if it could be done this year, I do think it makes more common sense.
City of Chicago, I believe a couple weeks ago, put out an RFP to privatize Midway Airport. You commented on that while you were in D.C. with regard to the Gary Airport. Is that an idea you would initiate yourself, or you're just saying it might be a good idea if Gary leaders wanted to pursue it?
Well, Gary leaders have thought of it themselves. I was reacting to that, actually, not to the Midway,
okay.
Although I'm aware of both.
Okay.
And I think it's a creative thought that they'd be wise to pursue. It might be a way to bring both a large amount of capital in to improve and the airport and the most professional possible management to make the most of the facility. So I understand why Midway's headed that way. It's not the first airport that would be like that. I think Orange County in California is another example. And I think that I continue to be intrigued with the possibilities of that airport. And it's the single best possibility I know for uplifting Gary generally. So I think it's the city's decision, but if they decide to go forward and explore it, I think they'd be well to do so.
At the beginning of this process, you talked about how lawmakers need to be brave and stick up to special interests. How would you grade their job so far?
I think they've done a pretty good job. I mean, again, we are here we've got 2 weeks to go there are differences, but all things considered, not that many and not that wide a gap. And again, on things like the caps, we're one vote away. Literally, one vote in one body. So I feel pretty positive, and I want to continue, as I have, complimenting the members. They've, I think, been as constructive and cooperative as we've seen them. I know it has sometimes distressed you folks. There hasn't been nearly enough hollering and fighting, but I think that's to their credit.
On the other hand, that one vote is on a bill that's informed that the Senate Republicans, and I would think you, don't like, so we're headed to more votes on that, aren't we?
Well, I was talking about the cap specifically and the resolution. I'll broaden it just to say, again, that I think the basic framework and the elements that I labeled crucial when you asked about that, when you used that word, I think there's a big majority in both houses ready to vote for those in one form or another, and I do believe we can iron out the fine points.
Governor, what would you say to the township assessors that are going to say, you know, the state is just as culpable for, at least once America has a $4 billion mistake that, you know, Department of Local Government Finance, they signed off on our assessment, so the state is just as much of, you know, an unindicted co-conspirator as the assessors are?
Sorry, it doesn't wash. They missed $4 billion and shifted it to homeowners until they were caught doing it. And when Cheryl Musgrave got here and looked and saw and that there was almost no difference. 7 years of value was supposed to be estimated here. 7 years change, and there was almost none in many of those townships. It was just a mistake. It's a good thing we went back and got it right.
Have you talked about the importance of overall spending, looking at that, and the legislature passed the Senate passed a bill that would institute a food and beverage tax in Steuben County, and I just wondered, for basic services, not for any sort of special projects, I just wondered if you thought that was a bad move in this session when we should be focusing on the overall spending?
I wouldn't label it a bad move. I continue to be a home rule person in terms of favoring a variety of tools for local government, more than we've had in the past. I do favor the most complete possible spending limits so that, again, taxpayers have a protection that they haven't had up to now, so that we don't continue to have local spending, total local spending, running at 6 to 8% when incomes are only growing at 3 to 4. But as to how the a locality meets its needs, I'm in favor of them having more, generally having more freedom than they've had historically.
Do you have any concerns that the state's taking on too much spending with some of the levies that we're picking up, and do you think we're headed for a recession that would make that job more difficult?
Well, first of all, I think that, as you know, that picking up the levies is a much better idea than what we've been doing, and that is sending subsidy checks back in ever greater amounts. No state budget ever is easy to put together, and so, yes, it may make it a little tougher, and an economic slowdown will make it tougher yet, but that's what people here get paid to do. And I think that it is much more protective of taxpayers to lift these costs off them altogether. Please notice that despite the concerns of localities, we would be doing things they have asked for a long, long time, like lifting the cost of child welfare, now possibly police and fire pensions. These have been fast-growing costs they would no longer have to deal with. So if it makes the job of policymakers at the state level a little tougher, so be it. It will be really beneficial to protecting taxpayers in their local units. And remember, the state government operates under a balanced budget requirement, which means that ultimately you do have to do what we haven't been doing in local government, and that is keep your spending below your revenues somehow and prioritize projects and programs to do that.
If the state picks up some of these levies, something was mentioned the other day, was that where is the incentive for local governments to keep their spending under control? For example, child welfare costs and where kids get assigned, et cetera, police, fire, pensions. Where is the incentive? Okay, if the states pick up the tab, well, spend like crazy.
Well, the legislature is well aware of this, and that's why there would be and will be some reasonable boundaries about what the state would and wouldn't pay for.
Democrats are talking a lot more secession we've done about the regressive nature of the sales tax and the concerns they have about how the plan would hit low-income Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. Do you think 1001, as it stands now, does enough to address those concerns that this impacts everyone equally?
Yeah, I do. I think, first of all, their arithmetic is, let me just say, wouldn't get a passing grade in the Mr. Vance's class that I sat through. Secondly, though, I think it overlooks how burdensome property taxes are on some of our low-income citizens and their neighborhoods. The point has been made in some columns recently, very important, that the biggest problem our urban areas and our urban school districts have is that people are leaving. It's not that they don't have enough money or in the future wouldn't have ever increasing amounts, unlimited amounts. The problem is that homeowners are going elsewhere, taking their children with them, and that's the problem we're out to solve. But I think they understate the urgency of property tax protection and relief to people at all income levels.
Are you satisfied then that no one will pay an overall higher tax burden if their sales and income tax go up?
No one in a state of 6.3 million? I don't know. I know we'd have a much better, fairer system, huge benefits to the vast majority of taxpayers, good for the economy of this state. And I think we've got as fair and balanced a program as we know how to put together. Let me just, one more point. Income tax increases would be the local, would be a local decision. If a locality can't bring itself to discipline its spending and decides to exercise its option to tax income a little more, that'd be their right. But it's not the only choice available to them. It ought to be their last resort to, after having gotten serious about government reform and slowing down the growth of spending. All right, thank you all.
You got some questions, Governor?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Producer back at the station wants to know if you have any reaction to the article on the Star on the loss of the money that they like saving tax.
No, I don't. Seen studies both ways, but I don't know if it cost anybody, as the thing said, $3 last year. I know it cost us a lot of jobs when we were out of sync with the national and world economy. I know that, and that was the reason and the only reason to make the change. Thanks.